Welcome back to the deep dive. We are looking at the final stack of source material for the regular season. We've got the week 14 notes, the weekly recap, and the official CMI playoff preview. This is it.
This is everything.
Our mission today is to cut through all that chaos and really extract the definitive knowledge, the blueprint for what's going to define the championship rounds.
Exactly. We are moving entirely past the regular season noise. Mm. The focus now is synthesis. We're looking at who finished hot, who's, you know, stumbling into these elimination games.
And the big one.
And the really big one. How those massive trade deadline moves are going to be judged, like right now, on the playoff stage.
Okay, let's unpack this blueprint then. We'll start with a quick look at the week 14 outcomes just to set the stage and lock in the seeds.
Right, the launch pad.
And from there, we pivot hard into the main event, the winner's bracket drama, where all the real questions are. But first, a quick word for something that keeps us sane on these weekends.
Yeah, definitely need that.
Today's deep dive is powered by Ballistic Bedick. Look, fantasy Sundays are intense. You're locked into red zone, but, you know, nature calls during a critical drive.
The worst.
Ballistic Bedick gets it. It's the only bathroom device engineered for Fantasy Sundays, and it has this pressure-adjusted tilt-to-tilt mode. No more sprinting between the screen and the toilet. You get back to the action faster, cleaner. Honestly, a game changer. So thank you, Ballistic Bidet.
A true marvel of engineering.
All right, let's jump into it. Section 1, the week 14 recap. This was the week that solidified everything. The final 8 teams, the momentum, all of it.
And the sources are really clear on this. The top seeds show genuine dominance. Halftime Hummers, for example, locking up that number 2 seed.
And the bye that comes with it.
And the bye, yeah. They did it on a blistering 5-game winning streak. They closed out the season just soundly defeating a playoff team, the Unluckies, 143.5 to 105.
That's not just a win, that is a statement. A 4-touchdown margin against a 9-win team. That sends a message.
A huge message. And similarly, the Jesting Johnsons, they look like they're peaking. They went, what was the term, full scorched earth?
Yeah, that's what it says. 142 to 95.5 over the Jackalope Society. They are walking into the playoffs with max confidence.
And you can't ignore Erzvents Einpe either. They finish hot, 136.5 points, mostly because Puka Nacua had that 37.5-point explosion.
Wow.
That kind of star power, even from a team that missed the main bracket, it changes how you view their scoring ability overall.
Right, and that's the subtlety here, because the standings were so tight, you had all these 8-6 teams fighting for the last spots.
Exactly. And the Unluckies, they got the number 3 seed, 9-5 record, but the sources are flagging a huge question mark over them.
The losing streak.
The 3-game losing skid.
Yeah.
They're entering elimination rounds with a great record, but their current form is profoundly worrying.
Okay, so this is where the data gets genuinely tragic. This was the story of the whole regular season, really. The whole high PF, no playoffs scenario. We have to talk about Fred Durst.
This team is a statistical anomaly. It's just a testament to the brutal variance of fantasy scheduling. They finished 6-8 after a tough loss in week 14.
Right, to Homer's Gyros, 104.5 to 100. A close one, but it shut the door on their season.
But here's the number, and for you listening, this is the critical data point. Fred Durst finished the year with 1,694.5 points for.
Which is?
The fourth highest scoring total in the entire league. Statistically, they were a top 4 offense.
I mean, how do you even explain that? How does a top 4 offense miss the playoffs entirely? What does that tell us about what strength even means?
Well, the sources give us the context right away. It's one devastating metric. Points against. Fred Durst led the league with 1737 PA.
Oh, wow.
They just ran into a buzzsaw every single week. It's the most extreme case of scheduling misfortune I think I've ever seen. It proves high PF guarantees nothing if the calendar's against you.
So that sets the stage perfectly. We have teams like the Hummers and Ragtag Misfits trending way up, secure in their buys. Then you have steady teams like the Gyros.
And then the chaos.
And then the chaos. The Unluckies on that L3 skid. Find yourself a CD feeling very vulnerable. That momentum difference is everything going into the first round.
Absolutely.
Okay.
The data is clear. The teams that peaked in week 14 are statistically just better insulated against the pressure of sudden death elimination.
Okay, with all that established, let's pivot. Let's get to the winner's bracket drama. Top seeds are resting, so hashtag 1, ragtag misfits, hashtag 2, halftime hummers, they're safe. Our focus now is entirely on the 2 round 1 matchups that are going to define this whole tournament.
And the CMI playoffs kick off with, I think, the biggest test of management possible. We're calling it the blockbuster trade showdown.
A direct verdict on that huge 6-player trade.
Exactly.
Okay, layout matchup one for us.
It's number four, the Jesting Johnsons, versus number five, Find Yourself a CD. And you have to remember the core of that trade. Find Yourself a CD got the high ceiling running back, Bijan Robinson.
And the Jesting Johnsons got James Cook.
Right. It was a classic clash of trade philosophies right before the deadline.
This is so much more than a matchup. It's a conflict of ideas. CeeDee went for the home run, banking on Robinson's elite upside.
And the Johnsons went for stability. Cook represents a much higher floor, a safer bet week to week.
And the pressure is immediate. We will know by the end of this weekend which philosophy worked.
But here's the twist for CeeDee. The Johnsons are riding this massive wave of momentum, thanks almost entirely to a completely unforeseen 36.5-point game from Michael Wilson.
That's the kind of wild card you need in an elimination game.
That's exactly it. The Johnsons seem to have found their X factor at the perfect time.
Okay, I hear you on momentum, but isn't Robinson's potential ceiling enough to offset that? I mean, CeeDee traded for a superstar, the Johnsons got a committee back. Doesn't that risk favor the team with the higher talent ceiling?
It would, if Robinson had been consistently hitting that ceiling. But the sources show he's been volatile. Cook offers a stable 15, maybe 20-point floor. Robinson has higher peaks, sure, but he also has some real valley performances.
And in the playoffs, you can't afford a valley.
You can't. The margin for error is zero. Stability often beats volatility. Find Yourself a CeeDee is betting on Robinson to hit his absolute ceiling this weekend. If he doesn't, the trade is a failure. It's incredibly high risk.
That raises the stakes infinitely. Okay, let's move to the second matchup, the one we've dubbed the momentum crisis.
This is number three, the Unluckies, versus number six, Homer's Gyros. And the crisis, like we said, is all about the Unluckies. 9-5 record, but they are stumbling into the playoffs on a three-game losing streak.
The sources say it sparked existential dread in the league chat.
It has. A team that finished near the top is now seen as totally vulnerable.
And you can see why. Even Josh Allen, arguably the league MVP, put up 38 points in Week 14 and they still lost.
Exactly. When your elite quarterback gives you a near-perfect game and you still lose, the problem isn't your top-tier talent. It's structural.
It's the depth.
It's the depth. The sources show their receiving production outside of their WR1 has been awful the last 3 weeks, like sub-5-point games from the WR2 spot. That's a fundamental weakness that the Gyros can exploit.
And you contrast that with Homer's Gyros. They're steady. They just beat Fred Durst to clinch their spot. They don't have the high peaks, maybe, but they're reliable.
They're an 8-6 team that is so much more comfortable in its own skin right now than the 9-5 team they're facing. This is classic seeding versus trajectory.
So the Unluckies are just hoping their stars can overwhelm the slump.
Pretty much. And the Gyros are looking to maintain their steady floor, exploit those depth issues, and just let the momentum gap do the work.
All right, let's quickly touch on some individual performances that are signaling a threat and then frame the consolation bracket.
Yeah, we have to acknowledge the star power that fueled those buys. The halftime Hummers win in Week 14 was anchored by their RBs.
Right.
Jahmyr Gibbs with a huge 33.5 points. Saquon Barkley with a solid 25.
That's a championship-winning duo right there.
If that combination stays hot, the Hummers are set up perfectly for a title run. They look formidable.
And looking at the teams that just missed, we can't forget about the firepower still out there. Puka Nacua is 37.5. T. Higgins is 24.0 for Ertz Vents IP.
Right. That is elite scoring that doesn't just, you know, disappear because they missed the main bracket.
Which brings us to the consolation ladder. And this is more than just playing for pride.
No, it provides really crucial context for the overall strength of the league.
So the first round matchups are number seven, Ertz Vents IP, versus number eight, a Jeanty Man and a Scholar. And then the really interesting one, number nine, Fred Durst against number 10, Too Little Too Late.
Ertz Vents IP is the overwhelming favorite there. Top-tier scoring figures, they are, on paper, the strongest team in that bracket. It's a classic case of disappointment turning into immediate dominance.
And Fred Durst.
That matchup is fascinating. Both teams finished 6-8, and they had remarkably similar points for it. This should be an incredibly even match. It's a real test of who can maximize their roster when the pressure's off.
So, if we bring all this knowledge together, what's the big picture?
The CMI playoffs are less about your final record and everything about the reality of Week 14. The first round is a crucible for two core factors.
One being the trade.
First, the immediate verdict on the Bijan Robinson high ceiling gamble versus the James Cook stability play. One of those philosophies is about to be eliminated.
And the second?
And second, it's about whether the extreme momentum swings, the Hummers W5 versus the Unluckies L3, can be overcome. The data says momentum is a powerful, powerful predictor.
And that connects right back to the key takeaway for you, the listener. The story of Fred Durst proves it. A top four offense means nothing when you face a league-leading 1737 points against.
Mm-hmm.
In this high-stakes environment, even a small slump, like what the Unluckies are going through, it creates this massive, almost existential risk.
Which leaves us with one final provocative thought you should be considering this weekend, especially with a consolation bracket. Fred Durst finished with the highest PA in the league.
That brutal 1737 number.
Will that haunt them? Even in the consolation ladder, are they just destined to face hot-scoring opponents no matter where they are? Or will their elite 1684.5 PF finally let them dominate and prove they really were the unluckiest team in the entire league?
That battle for statistical vindication begins now.
It does.
A perfect thought to launch us into the championship rounds. Thank you for joining us for this deep dive. We will be back next week to break down all the wreckage from round one. We'll talk to you then.